Hour number two, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. We are down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. James White will come in here and join us at 11:30. Rob Ninkovich will be in studio with us sometime in the noon hour. Trey Flowers will stop by as well. But there was no game this week. It was the bye week. So we are going to mix in some other things as well, including, and you're my source for this stuff.
Yes.
What the hell is going on with the Celtics?
Well, they look great against the Raptors. See that Raptors
Friday
game?
Night was
fun
great.
Game. A lot of fun. The Raptors are a great team. The
24
Raptors,
hours later, you bring in Salt Lake. And it's oh,
that's right. They had to play another game. And a rare back-to-back at
Friday,
home.
Saturday home games.
You don't see that very often. Back-to-back, yes, but not back-to-back both at the Garden. That's what they had. But it was a huge game for, you know, game 15 of the season. Well, so you're not going to go at it, you know, go nuts, but big game. Raptors had the best record in the NBA at the time when they faced them, Kawhi Leonard, and then the Raptors also smacked him around earlier in the season. So this was a pretty important game, and it was a lot of fun. Kyrie Irving was awesome. The team was great, and it was really good to see, by far and away, their best win of the year, and you got sort of the sense of what this team might be like going forward. This is kind of what you had hopes for, and you know, the idea that this could be an Eastern Conference Finals matchup and how great that could be, and there you go. So that's a great story, everything else. Then the next night you go out there, and it's a Hayward revenge game against Utah, and brutal.
And plus,
brutal.
The other thing was, and I thought it was the first time where Brad Stevens, in effect, said, you know what, you guys don't want to do it the way I want.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys from the end of the bench, you go on it.
All these guys.
Empty the bench out.
Yeah, that thing was just over. They said, we're not going to win this game. And it was Kyrie Irving, I thought, played well. I thought he's been great, really, all year long. But where's everybody else? I'll tell you what, Jaylen Brown has not been good this year at all. Like, he's been bad, in fact. He needs to figure it out. He had a good game against the Bulls. But, I mean, it's the Bulls. Since then, he seems to be the one pressing the most. You know, Gordon Hayward, he's had some good games and bad, and I think that makes a little bit more sense.
Because, coming off, you know, really bad injury.
Right.
Missed the whole season.
Right.
I thought it was going to take him a little while to.
Tatum has had some off nights, but I think he has offset that more with some good games. Same with, you know, things from the bench. But Jaylen Brown seems to be the guy having the hardest time figuring out what his role is on the team. And Kyrie Irving even said after the loss of the Jazz, kind of putting it on Tatum and Brown in the sense that there are such high expectations for them. There's high expectations for the team. So I think every team, sort of like we were talking about, when the Titans faced the Patriots, it was the biggest game ever for them. I think a lot of teams facing the Celtics this year feel the same way. Not that they're the Warriors, but they're the Eastern Conference. They're the top team in the Eastern Conference based off of what everybody was saying. All the hype, all the projections said the Celtics, they got this starting lineup together. They are going to the finals. So everybody gives them their best effort. And Jaylen Brown misses a couple of shots, and then it seems like he goes into a shell. He's gotten benched in late in some of these games where you haven't seen Jaylen Brown. So he was somebody that was on the rise. Like, I don't think he projects to being a multiple All-Star. I never did. But this year, because there are so many mouths to feed, it seems like he's taking a step back. He was so much better year two than he was as a rookie. But year three, it's early still, so nobody's given up on him. But Jaylen Brown seems to be struggling the most, I would say, out of everybody on the team.
And usually this is never even a question, at least in my opinion, it's never even a question, but effort at times.
Yeah.
I mean, usually effort has always been a given, and I'll give Brad Stevens a lot of the credit for that.
Yeah.
You never even gave it a thought that his team wasn't giving it everything they had.
No, and they had, you know, prior to Friday, Saturday's game, they were so bad early in games, and that's why all the questions popped up about should they change their starting lineup, because their team was just getting blitzed early in games. And even games they would come back and win, they just got off to these poor starts, these poor first quarters. And because guys like Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart have so much energy, the thought was, well, maybe you start one of those guys, and maybe Hayward or maybe even Jaylen Brown goes to the bench. And because that's been their starting lineup for most of the season. You know, obviously Hayward didn't play in every back-to-back early in the year. Kyrie Irving missed a game in there out when they were out in Utah. But for the most part, they've gone with their best five, and they haven't always performed very well early on. And you're right, I think part of it is that they must have been reading everything that was written about them and hearing everything said about them, and they just assumed, hey, if we have these guys out on the floor, it's going to take care of itself, and we're going to beat all these teams. But there's more to that. You can't just show up. Like, they're not good enough to just show up and beat everybody.
How do you fix it?
I mean, I think part of it is Stevens has to figure out these different rotations, these different lineups, and what works. And well, part of it, this is kind of simple, but part of it is they need to make shots. Like, there are so many open shots that they miss, so it's really not even a Stevens thing. It's more of the team just needs to get better. Like, some of their shooting percentages, some of their, you know, two-point shots that they have taken, they just need to shoot better. They've obviously taken a zillion threes, but that's not going to change. That's going to be what they do. And I think the players are good enough to sort of raise their level. So that's what you got to do. You got to stick with it. You got to hope that you can clean up the slow start thing. But the Jazz game was just so, I mean, you go from the best game you had all season to one of the worst in a 24-hour period. That was tough to stomach. But I mean, there was certainly thought that they might get off to a slow start. I didn't think it was going to be this slow of a start, but again, it's not even Thanksgiving yet, so I'm nobody's freaking out about it. But these guys do need to figure. I think Tatum and Brown have heard, because they had such a good season last year and a good playoff run, that they have heard about how good they are, and then when things aren't going their way, I think they've had a hard time adjusting.
Because it's been a weird thing to watch for them.
Yeah, it has.
I mean, like you said, Friday night you've got this great game. I mean, everything's the building's jumping. It's emotional. You're playing
perfect
against a really good team. And the next night you bring Utah in and you go,
I'm like, what? Yeah, Kyrie Irving was as good as we've seen him in a Celtics uniform in the game against Toronto. Kyrie Irving was awesome. And then he followed that up. He played pretty well. Nobody else did. I think he had 20 points. I want to say Tatum had 10, and nobody else had double figures against the Jazz. It was just, it was a weird game. They were pretty bad in it. But they still need to. So when Allen, Pierce, and Garnett got together, they were at a point in their career where they knew that winning was the most important thing. They tried to win on their own, and they couldn't. And so now they're together, and they all kind of sacrifice shots.
Yeah, subjugate, you know, everything.
Yeah, it was going to be tough. This is a little bit different. So you have Kyrie Irving, who is an established superstar. You have Gordon Hayward, who's just a one-time All-Star but coming off of an injury. You have Al Horford, who's like the veteran of the group. And you have two young guys, not to mention a bench where Terry Rozier is in a contract year. He's trying to get paid after this year, probably putting a lot of pressure on himself. Marcus Morris, also in a contract year, although he has played well. And then throw Marcus Smart in. So you have those eight guys all fighting for minutes, all fighting for shots. And it's tough because Tatum and Brown, they're on the rise. So are they really going to look at it and say, yeah, I can average 8 points this year and still be successful? Like, I don't know if you can do that. It's tough.
Do you think they're at the point where Danny has to consider a shake 'em up move, or does he just say no? We'll be fine. We'll be patient.
I would say no. I would say we're going to be fine, because I think ideally you have what it takes. Like, I think you have the right kind of lineups in there somewhere that should be able to compete with everybody. And if it, you know, the Terry Rozier stuff, I don't think that's really gone away just yet. Now, I know Bill Simmons was the one that threw it out there that Terry Rozier is unhappy. And then Rozier, to his credit, said, I would never say that. I would never complain about minutes. But that would be the one guy to maybe keep an eye on as they still, a couple months from now. I wouldn't think anything happens soon, but a couple months from now, if they're still not able to get something going, maybe they end up moving on from getting something from him, because I don't think he's going to re-sign anyway. So maybe that would be the one guy that would be out of here.
It's the first time since he's been here that I've heard Brad Stevens sounding frustrated.
Yeah. It's the first time he's ever had these kind of expectations, and it's the first time he's ever had this kind of talent. And so now we're going to start to wonder. It's too early to ask this question yet, but I'll throw it out there anyway.
Good.
Is he better off coaching sort of the plucky underdog group, getting the most out of sort of young guys and where the expectation isn't there, or can he also coach the team that is supposed to win? Because I think I like Brad Stevens more than I do Doc Rivers. I just do. But Doc Rivers was the guy, if you had the 08 Celtics, he was the perfect guy for the 08 Celtics. If you had a couple more seasons of the 07 Celtics, I don't want him anywhere near those guys. I don't want Doc Rivers developing the younger guys. No, thank you. But if you take three Hall of Famers, then that obviously worked. That was a good group. So Brad Stevens has never had anywhere near this amount of talent on his team. But I trust that he's going to be able to figure it out. I mean, he is a great coach. He's proven it every year. But this is a new challenge for him than he's ever had.
I know it's got to be driving ownership and management crazy.
They got to be a little confused. And I think then you have Kyrie Irving, and he kind of walked the comment back that he said last week about, oh, we could use like a 15-year vet. And I know Danny Ainge was asked about that, and it's
What he was saying was Carmelo.
I don't know if it was. I mean, they don't need Carmelo.
No,
they don't. And I'm not anti-Carmelo. There's a lot of people who hate Carmelo Anthony. I do not. I do not hate Carmelo Anthony, but I don't think he would help this team. I really don't. I don't know what role he would play. And if the role that he would play is with Kyrie, having a guy come in here and be like, hey, guys, it's a long season. Don't freak out. Like, I think somebody else can do that. You don't need a guy that also shoots every time he gets the ball to say the same thing.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
He might be like a 14 or 15 year veteran to kind of, you know, be the voice of reason. Did you have something specific in mind? And two, what, like, can you expound on that?
No, I think I was speaking on in general for where we are as a team in terms of what we have in here as a group. And I was speaking to, you know, the responsibility that's put on me as well as Al, as well as Luke and Gordon to be the leaders of this team. And we're all relatively young as well.
You were right. Kyrie kind of walking it back he's just like, a touch.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one guy, though, that the way he has played this season, he can kind of say whatever he wants. He's at least been able to kind of back it up out there on the court and has looked pretty good. But that was a curious one. I didn't really get that at the time. But then people sort of followed up on it. He's like, well, no, just sort of in general. But I think he's won a championship. He's been to the finals multiple times. Al Horford's been in the league a very long time. Even Aaron Baines has been in the league a long time. Marcus Morris, like, they have veterans on this team. I mean, Tatum and Brown are extremely young. Got it. But they have a lot. Hayward's been in the league a long time. Like, I don't know. This 15-year veteran thing was just really screwing.
And as we said, what does a 15-year veteran know that an 8-year veteran doesn't know?
I have no idea.
If you've been in the league 7, 8, 9 years, you probably kind of got the lay of the land.
Right. And I think especially when you're talking about somebody like Kyrie Irving who has played in the finals multiple times, so he knows that not only is it 82 games, but it's another 20 plus games after that. Like, he's as aware of that as anybody else is in the league right now.
We are happy as always on a Patriots Monday to visit with New England Patriots running back James White, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance and Botello Lumber. Hello, James, how are you?
I'm doing good, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. That might not work, I don't know. You can get rid of him if you want to. Whatever's easier for you.
It's working now.
Okay, there we go. So you're bye week. You went and watched a little college football action this week?
Got tuned into some college football. Wisconsin got a little overtime win versus Purdue, which was good. And I went to New York for a few days, so it was good to go.
So you could rub it into Rob Ninkovich. He's going to be here next hour.
Yeah, well, no.
Wisconsin over. What about NFL? Do you watch the games yesterday, or do you get away from it? What do you do?
Yeah, I definitely tuned into the games yesterday, too. I mean, I pretty much watch football whenever it's on. Kind of a football junkie in a way. Don't really watch anything else on TV besides football. So.
Now, Tom mentioned earlier today that he spent a lot of the bye week doing a little self-scouting, looking at a lot of film of, you know, his game and how things have gone. Are you a self-scouting kind of guy as well?
Definitely. Definitely gives you some time to, you know, watch the first half of the season, see the things we did well as a player and things we don't do well as a player and things we can improve on. And I think it just gives you a good beat on what you can do better and, you know, kind of help this team improve as, you know, we go down this final stretch because it's going to be a huge 6 games for us.
Now, you've had more touches this year than you've had your previous years in the league at, you know, going into, what, week 12. Can you feel that on your body? Is there a difference to you?
I mean, you feel a little bit, but you just take care of your body, get the extra treatment, do whatever it takes so I can go out there and play my best and be available. I mean, maybe more touches, but I still go out there and play my game. Everybody's sore at this point, so there's no excuse for anything.
I was telling the story earlier today. I was at my gym on Saturday, and Matthew Slater's in there taking a cycling class with his wife. Are you a guy who works out during the bye week, or what are you doing?
I didn't.
Yeah, so, smart.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Some guys have to stay active. Everybody has a different plan or whatnot. But it's definitely good to get in here today, you know, get back moving, get up to speed on the Jets, and, you know, get ready to go.
Do you do any of the hyperbolic chamber stuff or, like, ice baths? Or, like, do you do anything kind of different?
I'm not a fan of the cold stuff.
Yeah.
Me either. I'm with you there.
Yeah,
you played Wisconsin for crying out loud.
I'm not a big fan of getting in the cold tub, stuff like that.
But you must have seen, like, everything. But different teammates of yours must try every single thing for an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to find what works for you. I mean, everybody's different. Some guys like the cold tub. Some guys like the hot tub. It's the sauna. There's float tanks. There's all different types of things. You just find out what works for you.
The anti-gravity stuff.
Yeah, that's
what
we
should get into.
All right, so help me out here because I've been trying to figure this out. You guys have been great here at home and not so great on the road, and that's uncharacteristic for Patriots football.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to find a way to play better on the road, start faster, you know, don't have lulls. Like the Bears game, we started fast, and we kind of had some lulls in there. Versus the Titans, we didn't play very well throughout the whole game. So just starting the game with energy, paying attention to detail, playing as a team, playing that complimentary football that we usually do. I think it's all about starting fast and, you know, keeping your foot on the gas the whole game.
You guys could be getting Rex Burkhead back in another week. What would that mean to the backfield to get him back?
I mean, a lot. Rex is a very versatile player. Catch, run, block. Could do things that Sony does, do things that I do. So definitely keeps the defense off balance with that. And he's a good football player. And whenever we can get him back, it'll definitely give us a boost.
It sounds as though it's a real possibility that Rob Gronkowski could make his return this week as well. We know what he means in the passing game. But in the running game, he's a huge part of what you guys do as well.
Oh, definitely. I don't think he gets enough credit for his blocking. A lot of tight ends, they can catch and run routes, but they can't really hold up against defensive ends, and he can. He's a big physical guy. He does a great job for us, not only in the passing game, but the running game, too.
Now, there's stats for literally everything, but one of the stats that's out there now is third and short. The last, was it 5 weeks, Dale? Numbers passing have not been very good at all. What do you think goes into that?
I think it's just execution as an offense, us picking up the blitzes, giving Tom enough time to get rid of the football, us as receivers getting open, making the catches, making tough catches sometimes, because it's going to be tough catches on third and short. So I think it's just execution. It's about us, not really about the defense.
We've talked about your first 10 games. I mean, you've touched the ball more than you ever have. You've got great receiving numbers. Part of that self-scouting thing, what's the thing you think you've got to improve on the most?
Just creating more separation. Being coordinated with everybody on the offensive line, picking up blitzes better, just giving Tom enough time to read the coverage out. Just a little bit of everything, running more physical. I mean, I kind of want to improve on everything, even the things that I've been doing well, just keep improving at it. You can always get better at everything, so it's not just one thing.
Now that you couldn't watch the Jets yesterday, they were on a bye as well. How much have you already had a chance to take a look at what they do?
I mean, their defense is, you know, they're pretty diverse. They throw all those crazy blitzes at you and things like that. And they have some good football players. And every time we play those guys, it's tough. So just definitely study up on them, see if they're doing anything differently than when the previous years. And got to be ready to go to, you know, try and get a good division away with.
Yeah. should we tag you out here? We'll let you get back to work.
Yeah, and tag Trey.
Tag in, yeah. Tag in Trey Flowers. James, it's good to see you again.
Good
Thank
see you.
You.
Thanks. Good luck, son.
Thank you. Trey Flowers is going to tag in. Now, good to see you again. Trey's going to tag in. We'll tag James out. Trey Flowers is brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing. Hello, Trey. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Doing great. Yeah. Thank you. All we were just asking James about his bye week festivities. Did you go see a little college football yourself?
Nah. I just went home back with the family and just relaxed. So, yeah.
Just get away from the game for a few days.
Reset a little bit over the bye week? Reset a little bit?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, mentally, physically, you know, just relax your mind and, you know, get back and get ready to get to it, so.
I feel like sometimes, you know, you can have the bye as early as week 4, I believe. Mm-hmm. But having it week 11, that's probably as good as you can do, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just right there in position to, you know, finish off the remainder, the back half of the season, or I think, yeah, 6 games mm-hmm. left. So, you know, I think, you know, right there in that mid-range or, you know, after 10 games or so is, you know, it's pretty good just to, you know, recover and, you know, bring home the final stretch. So,
do you notice the difference on your body just already having not had a game this week? Do you feel different?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Going into the week, you know, just being already recovered from last week, you know, last week, and then, you know, getting a break and just understanding that, you know, mentally just, you know, like you said, taking your mind away from the game a little bit and, you know, coming back, being ready to, you know, get to it. So,
when you're preparing for a team that, you know, has an injury, a quarterback, and there's sort of an unknown status, how does that change things when you could face, you know, one of two different people?
Yeah. I mean, you just got to, you know both of them, I guess, or know, you know, whoever can be in that position and just understand that, you know, if you get this guy, you know, what's different from this guy or that guy. So, you know, it's just one of the things you got to prepare for and, you know, you got to watch your film. So,
Tom talked this morning about self-scouting. James was just talking about looking at his game and what he could be better on the second second half, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Did you do a little self-scouting yourself on your game and your defense?
Yeah, definitely. Just understanding, you know, how teams were preparing for us, just, you know, how they were attacking us and things like that. And just for me, just, you know, back to the fundamentals, making sure, you know, I'm crisp on that. You know, maybe if one game I was, you know, bad with my footwork or, you know, bad with my hand placement, just making sure that, you know, I correct those mistakes and continue to get better that way. So I think self-scouting is definitely important, especially the bye week. You get a chance to just kind of, you know, not game plan for a team, but just, like self-scout yourself and continue to get better. So,
were you watching the games yesterday, or do you just sort of, you know, let your mind take a break from it and come back to practice?
The games were on. My dad watched, so I was, you know, in the kitchen. I watched a few of them, but I didn't, you know, pay attention to any really. Yeah.
Will you watch tonight? Because I know, you know, Rams Chiefs should be a good one.
Yeah, it should be a good one. You know, I may watch it, or I may just relax.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Watch it on Netflix instead.
Yeah, however I feel, you know, if I'm chilling at home, relaxing, I might turn it on. So, yeah.
Now, you said you were in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Does the food go good, better when you get home?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, my mom, she actually cooked the Thanksgiving meal, you know, on Saturday.
While you were home.
Yeah,
that's nice.
While I was home, So, you know, I got a little... Got a little taste of that, you know, good flavor and things like that. So, you know, they go cook again on Thanksgiving, but, you know, she just...
Now, that's mom of the year.
Yeah,
she's doing double Thanksgiving dinners.
Yeah, so she looked out and, you know, it was just one of those deals that, you know, she had, you know, family come and things like that. So it was pretty cool, yeah.
What, you guys got any plans for this Thursday? I assume you have practice in the morning, or what are you guys doing Thanksgiving?
I think we got off. I'm not sure. I don't know the schedule for really, but I ain't doing nothing.
Nothing,
Hang out
and eat.
Yeah.
What's your favorite side for Thanksgiving? What's the thing that your mom makes that you look forward to the most?
Mac and cheese already.
Oh, nice. That's it, huh?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So.
Now, did you get to bring some home with you, too?
Yeah. I brought a little. It wasn't a lot left. You know, we had a lot of family come, so it wasn't too much left. But I made sure, before everybody got their to-go place, I grabbed me my little. Yeah. So I'd be straight, you know, for a few days after. So
now, did you guys play high school football on Thanksgiving down there, like we do here in Massachusetts? Or no?
Nah, we started school like, you know, in August or so. So we was
done.
Already
football
finished.
Done,
yeah, we was already about. I mean, they got like, you know, the tournament and you know, the finals and things, but. I ain't ever make it there.
Yeah.
So, I was at home,
Now, were you one of those guys who football season ended and you went right to
basketball
or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was right to basketball. So, you know.
No off season for you, man.
Nah, not really.
And what'd you do in the spring then?
One year I actually did soccer. I played soccer just to kind of, you know,
how'd
keep
that
me busy. It was cool. It was a lot of running, man.
Yeah, right.
It was only one year. So, you know, after that one year, I'm like, I could train another way. So, yeah.
Dunk the basketball?
Yeah.
Of course. Well, I would hope. I mean, he's Vince Wilfork used to tell us he could dunk a basketball. And supposedly he did.
I trust him.
He's a big man. Get that thing airborne. But he said he could do it. Not quite as svelte as you are in that department. Well, we appreciate you coming in. I'm glad you enjoyed the bye week and a Thanksgiving dinner already. Yeah, that's good for you. Yeah. We'll see you again next week.
All right,
thanks.
See ya.
Thanks,
Trey. Trey Flowers joining us here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Take Dale and Keith with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
.617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's get to the calls with you guys as we're down here at Gillette. Our two Patriots guests have come and gone. Rob Ninkovich will join us sometime next hour. Scheduling is a little bit up in the air, and then we'll talk about whatever you guys want between now and then as well. Let's kick it off with Tony in Medford. Tony, you're up next on Sports Radio's Dale and Keith.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, the first thing I want to say, I really appreciate the respect that your producers show the callers. I mean, the girl came on the line a few times. She's like, hey, you don't mind hanging around? I'm like, no, I listen to the show anyways.
Nice job, Lucy.
I wish they showed us the same respect, but good. I'm glad they. I'm glad they did.
She seems like a fine doll. So what I wanted to get to, I feel like the key for the Patriots, right? They got to get all boots on the ground. You know, they got to get this running game going. That's going to be a huge part of success going forward. I figured, you know, why not try that fat lord across the street, Mike Sarge Riley? I mean, I think he could really get.
Okay, thanks. We'll see you later.
Thanks,
Tony.
Not bad. Not bad. I've heard better. Lucy, let me ask, is Lucy mic'd up back there?
Yes, she is.
What do you think of somebody referring to you as a doll?
That is a new one.
Yeah. I kind of think
I might have avoided that one myself. Yeah. I might not have gone there.
I would not call somebody else a doll.
I believe he called her a fine doll.
Fine doll. Yeah. That was an interesting approach. He went in at it complimenting the producers, then sort of a football point into eventually what he was calling for.
That's a good format for a call, personally.
Not bad. Yeah, you're in and you're out. You're in and you're out. It was like 30 seconds. Not bad.
I mean, complimenting you is fine. We were just guessing fine doll might not have been the route to go with that.
I'll take it.
Boots on the ground. He went there. Talking about the run. All hands on deck. He could have gone with that one either. That one as well.
I just tried to mention the guys across the street, and yeah, we're good.
That's fine. It's the thing's taking off, though. It's going places.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? I remember before the Super Bowl, all those Philadelphia Eagles were saying, I'd rather win one Super Bowl and have fun afterwards than be like the Patriots, like how they're all regimented and stuff. I want to know if they're having fun now.
Yeah, Lane Johnson was the one who said that, and we kind of mocked him at the time. We were like, hey, you won, you can say whatever you want, but yeah, they look terrible.
Oh, I love mocking him now.
Holy smokes, were they bad.
They're horrible.
Carson Wentz was a disaster. And I mean, the Saints are great. The Saints might be the best team in the league, but the Eagles aren't going to make the playoffs. After winning the Super Bowl and this whole thing, like, oh, they got their guys back, and now their quarterback is even better than the guy they won it with, and they're going to miss the playoffs. You're right. I can't imagine they're having very fun. To answer your question, I would say zero fun is what they're having.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Yeah, good. We're all happy.
Take that.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it. 617-779-7937. Peter's in JP. Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Hey, Dale. I think you're a hunk. Is that all right?
Thank you. I appreciate that. A hunk. Yeah, I would like that very much.
Oh,
how about Rich?
I thought you said a honk.
No,
a
honk.
Said, yeah, honk.
Honk, honk, honk. How about Keith?
Oh, a honk? No.
He's a fine honk.
A fine
honk. Oh, thank you.
A large-headed man.
But I want to talk about the Celtics real quick. The toughness thing I think is overrated. You can't leave the NBA defense if you're not playing hard. And I watched the Utah game twice.
Why?
And what?
Why?
Because I'm trying to figure out why they're so bad. And it basically comes down to they didn't play bad. They shot 15% from three and 50% from the foul line. You're never going to win a game if you're shooting like that. And right now they got three guys that are shooting 30%. That's Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, and Jaylen Brown. It's just pathetic, 27%. So I think they – Keith, I think, mentioned it, but to get his confidence back, I think they ought to move Jaylen Brown down to the second unit and bring up Marcus Smart because Kyrie Irving's defense was terrible in the Utah game. Ricky Rubio got wherever he wanted to go. So I think the biggest problem or the way to fix their problem is to get somehow – to get Jaylen Brown's confidence back and he was a 40% shooter last year, and now he's worse than Marcus Smart.
Yeah, no, it is. It's amazing. He's shooting like he did in college. Like it's weird. It's weird to see after such a good year two for him. I'm starting to come around to the shake up the starting lineup. I wasn't for a while. I said, these are their five best guys. Play the five best guys. They'll figure it out. But I would not be opposed to putting either, depending on who you're playing against, you could bring in Marcus Smart or even Aaron Baines. Aaron Baines is another guy, great defensively.
They've also been talking about Marcus Morris. But the thing about Marcus Smart on the starting unit, okay, is he doesn't need to take the shots. Right now, they got five guys who are all shooters.
Four. I mean, Horford will shoot, but he's okay not shooting, too.
Well, he shot 42% last year from three.
No. I didn't say he's a bad shooter. I'm just saying he doesn't need, like, volume shots. Those other guys, you know, if they don't have double-digit shots, they're probably upset. I don't think it would kill Horford if he was, you know, took eight or nine shots.
617-779-7937. Rob's in Marshfield. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Yeah, so I had to go off of that guy there calling Lucy a fine china. What I don't get is this guy saying our run game, you know, needs some work. But if you ask me, Brady's got his targets hands down. It's the target with the butterfingers on the other end. Like, what's going on with the passing game, you know? The guy should be out there having fun, but at the end of the day, it's a job, and their job is to catch the ball. It doesn't seem like they're doing that so well.
Yeah, but you'd have to admit, though, that Brady is missing guys, too.
Yeah, I can. And you know, people can argue it's old age. It's maybe not as much passion for it, which I don't believe. I believe his passion is there. I think these guys got to find that kind of subconscious connection player to player, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's been all drops. Like, Josh Gordon, to me, stands out. There's been a couple of times where he has had drops deep down the field that really could have been, you know, momentum swings. Other guys, yeah. I mean, there's been times where he's overthrown guys, you know, thrown at, you know, short.
It almost seems like he's just getting a little too ahead of himself. I mean, even the week versus Green Bay, they ended up pulling out the W, but it was a little messy, you know?
Yeah, that wasn't a perfect game by any means. I mean, I thought the defense played pretty well overall, but the Packers aren't great. I mean, I think that, you know, you'll take it. It was a nice, you know, it was a nice win, but then they followed up. The most recent thing that we have seen was bad across the board. You know, the offense was bad, the defense was bad, exactly. the whole thing.
It just seems like the defense is humping the ladder for the most of the game, you know.
All right, thanks for the call.
Appreciate it. Thanks. 617-779-7937. Victor's in New Hampshire. Hey, Victor.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's going on?
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm an Eagle fan, but what if Brady's not hurt? I saw McNabb have great years that year. They went to the Super Bowl with Terrell Owens. He had almost as good a year as Brady. Then the next year after that, he was terrible, and then they traded him to Washington. He was terrible there, and then he retired.
He didn't have any injuries? I thought McNabb got hurt.
Well,
no?
He had a sternum injury, but that was prior to...
You hurt your sternum. That's no good.
Eagles. Yeah.
But he wasn't the reigning MVP 1 year. And I think what's more alarming to me is not even Brady's numbers. I think those on their own are pretty good. But when you compare, the rest of the league has all gone up. The rest of the league is just so easy to score now.
See, and you made this point earlier as well. I mean, we're seeing, you know, these unbelievable pinball numbers for quarterback play in the National Football League. And the guy who is, in my opinion, as good as there is, isn't doing it. And I truly, firmly believe he's dealing with something, that he's trying to keep quiet, that he's trying to play through, and good for him for doing that, because let's be honest, the alternative is not great.
Well, and if the caller's right, you know, if he's not hurt, then this also comes back to where does Brady think he's at? You know, because he has said before he wants to play at least 45. He's also said before that if he's not good anymore, he doesn't want to play. And he's definitely not to that point. Like, he's still good. The question is he great? He's been great for so long, and so many of the numbers, as well as the eye test, show you that he is good right now. Like, there are a number of quarterbacks better. How many seasons could you say that about, where you look at 5-10 guys all having a better season than him? Not that they're better than him overall. Okay, no one's going there, but just to say that, you know, the two guys in the Monday night game tonight, Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff, both having a better season, like Drew Brees having a significantly better season. You can go down the road, and there's a whole bunch of guys, and that's pretty rare. He's always on that very
cell phone. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on?
Oh, first thing of all, I'm not going to call you cute, but I did tell you a cute girl on the phone there that I was bringing her a couple of peppermint patties.
What is going on here with the
I like the sound of that.
Can we cool it with the comments?
You want to go on a date, a Klondike bar, a couple of peppermint patties, you're in. You're not going to ask her age, and you're not going to ask her weight, or you're not getting anywhere.
But a Klondike bar, where does that get you?
And I'm going to suggest because that she's probably not likely to date a caller to the sports talk show anyway.
She might.
Listen, want to know the answers, or you want to keep it up?
I want to know the answers.
The answer is you take a bite of the Klondike bar, and then you take a little corner off the peppermint patty, and it changes the whole structure of the taste.
Is that right?
Of course.
So you just peel that off, and you toss that out, like peel and eat shrimp, and then you throw a little peppermint patty on top of the Klondike bar?
Listen, you want to talk fish, or you want to talk women?
I want to talk about Klondike bars.
I'm wondering about your weight issue.
Yeah, I don't know where the shrimp came from.
Well, so peel and eat shrimp was where I was headed there. So let me ask you this. What do you think of the Klondike bars that already have the built-in flavors? There's some of those that are different flavors.
Well, I usually get the dark chocolate.
There you go.
All right, let me get to the point here, guys. I love you. You
mean, that'd be great.
There is one?
All right, first of all, let's talk about a little bit of what you are already talking about. When you're ready for retirement,
yeah,
and you were a builder all your life, do you feel like climbing three stories in the air and putting on a roof, or are you going to send guys up there because it's going to make your life a little bit easier?
I'm sorry, you're a builder in this scenario?
Same thing. Let me cross-reference this.
Yeah.
Brady's 41 years old.
Right.
The owner of our company might as well be the U.S. Mint. Why would he let all the strategic players go so that this man has to work that much harder at 41 years old? Deion Lewis, you want to let him go? Shame on you. Amendola, now we're begging for players. Pay for everybody. And by the way, we're not talking about that kid that took a 10 sacks for the other team, never mind Flowers.
Now, it is a salary cap league, though. We're aware of this, right? And they did invest a first-round pick in a lineman for Brady. Unfortunately, he got hurt. And a running back as a replacement for Deion Lewis. And they knew that Julian Edelman, maybe his favorite receiver of all time, was returning from injury. Let's not make it out like the cupboard's bare. That's a kitchen reference.
Thank you.
Is he gone?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh.
I was afraid he was going to start talking about, you know, Baby Ruth's cross-pollinating with...
What do you think of
Mars bars?
I think we need to get him once a week to have like him mixing foods and see if we can try those out.
So, but I think if you take a peppermint patty and put it on top of a Klondike bar, doesn't it start to get a little too much? Like, because the beauty of the Klondike bar is such a thin layer of chocolate.
It's also a weird consistency. I'm thinking this.
Yeah,
like
I don't want
thickness
that. It's
of
like
the peppermint patty and a smoothness of the ice cream. And
too much of a crunch.
I think he had this whole other conversation going on that involved Lucy that did not involve necessarily the candy bars. And
well, he did tell me he was calling from the dentist.
What? Oh, maybe he's a little loopy then. Why is Lucy getting hit on so much today?
Yeah. What is
new studios? New Lucy? I don't know.
Is that what it is? The new studio?
Oh, now you're blaming Lucy.
I'm definitely blaming Lucy. She's, I think, conducting these callers to hit on her.
Lucy, let's just try to keep it professional on that end. If you could, just name where you're calling from. What do you want to talk about? I'll put you on hold, that kind of thing.
She's fishing for compliments. I'm telling you guys.
I think that might be what it is.
Oh, what do you want to call me, a doll? And the guy was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, a doll or a peppermint patty?
She's like, I just want to talk to the guys, thanks.
I just want to make a builder reference, if I could, here. Jeez. And do I have to work in the other stuff, too?
Wait, so Brady's 41. It was also one of his points. That's true.
Good point.
So I think in a roundabout way, Dale, he's another one of these. Well, if they re-sign Deion Lewis and Danny Amendola and Brandon Cooks, they'd be fine. By the way, I was doing some more math over the weekend. Because that's how
math
I spent
is
a lot
hard.
Of my, well, I, it's, that's how I spend my time. And
just for fun.
Brandon Cooks last year and Josh Gordon this year, very similar. Very similar. Josh Gordon's played in 7 games for the Patriots.
Yep.
So if you took that 7-game average and said he played 16 games,
yep,
he would actually have a few more yards than Brandon Cooks had a year ago. And the catch ratio, not as good, but only slightly worse. I think Cooks caught 57% of the passes thrown his way. Gordon has caught just over 53% of the passes thrown his way.
How many touchdowns for Cooks?
Good question. I don't know if I had that. Was that 6 last year?
I'm going to suggest it might be more than 1.
Well, so same with Gordon. Gordon has 2, so that's more than 1. And if you play this out, you still have 6 games more to add a couple more to it. But I'm saying it's very similar, and I think that...
You're trying so hard to
make
Josh Gordon signing.
Well, you thought he was going to come in here and score 20 touchdowns. I'm just trying to be more realistic. I think Brandon Cooks is a pretty good comparison.
So 4 will do it for you and you'll be happy?
It's not just about touchdowns. Oh. They've scored a lot of points since he's been here, too, outside of Tennessee, haven't they?
Yeah, and apparently in these last 5 games when he's been a part of this, the 3rd and short passing is 28th in the NFL.
So he's responsible for 3rd and short?
No, but he's part of it.
He also has... They lost 1 game since Josh Gordon has played with him. Like, he was a part of how many games where they scored in the 30s? So Josh Gordon's done a nice job, and I'm just saying that the Brandon Cooks replacement is Josh Gordon, and you gave up a first-round pick for Cooks. Would you give up a 5th for Gordon?
Oh,
and you got a 7th back?
I didn't care about that. Look, I said all along, as long as he's available, I love the signing.
Well, I'm saying Gordon...
I thought it was going to be a little bit more productive than it's been.
Well, I don't know how you could think that, because Gordon...
Because his catch ratio is driving me nuts.
Well, yeah, but Brandon Cook's catch ratio is not very good. That's these guys that go deep down the field, the catch ratio is not going to be super high. It's not going to be what James White and Julian Edelman's is.
And look, it may also be that, you know, his finger's bothering him. because even on some of those slants lately,
definitely bothering him.
The slants lately, which he was just plucking earlier in the year, he's not catching anymore.
No, that I mean, I think he's still out there, so good for him. So you got to make the play. Like, I'm sorry that your finger hurts, but that's obviously, and for him, you know, not a lot of receivers, it feels like, do always catch the ball with their hands, but he is one of them. So when your finger is messed up, then that's going to be, it's just going to be tougher. He's got to make the adjustment, though. He still has to bring in those passes.